And now it's time for the MRC TV podcast.
Welcome to the MRC TV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner, and with me today is Phelim McAleer. He's a producer, a director, a documentarian. You may know him from Frack Nation, the movie on Gosnell, the Ferguson play, and now he's got another play, a dramatic reading that's going to be coming out on video. It's going to have an official release coming up early next month, and it's called Lovebirds. Phelim, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Eric. Yes, it's FBI Lovebirds Undercovers is the full title.
The full title. I just want to shorten. You know why? It's because everybody thinks of Love Letters by A.R. Gurney.
Yeah.
In some ways, this is actually similar, isn't it?
Well, funny, I saw Love Letters at the Edinburgh Festival. I saw a version of Love Letters at the Edinburgh Festival, and I'd always been interested in verbatim theater. But it was really that, when I went to the Edinburgh Festival several years ago and saw the amount of verbatim theater that was around, that encouraged me to sort of bring verbatim theater and popularize it in America, where it's not really known. So yeah, so I mean, it's more like Love Letters than you would think. These are the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the two FBI lovebirds, who in between having a teenage style love affair, whilst working for the FBI, were planning to undermine the Trump candidacy and the Trump presidency. So it's kind of teen romance meets Jean Le Carré with a bit of farce going in. But the key thing is, it's all in their own words. It's verbatim. It's only the text messages or their evidence to a private congressional inquiry.
So it's congressional testimony and text messages. And you mentioned it's kind of a teenage love affair. I've seen some clips of this. Some people at the office have been fortunate to see a dramatic reading when it was in D.C., and they came back raving about it. But, you know, they said this is a little bit of everything. It's actually kind of funny in some ways, as sad as it is, because it's filled with anti-Trump hate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very funny, actually. It really is funny. These people, they had no self-awareness, and, you know, I mean, Peter Strzok, the Democrat congressional questioner says, I hear that you're one of the top counter-espionage agents on the planet, right? And, you know, Trump Strzok goes, oh, well, you know, perhaps that. This guy was having an affair at work. He was a married man. He was having an affair at work, and they were texting each other on work phones, and they were texting anti-Trump stuff and anti-Trump conspiracy stuff on their work phones. So it's just funny on so many levels, but it's also, there's a seriousness to it as well, in that this was the cooing coup. They were cooing to each other on the phone whilst planning a coup.
Did you get laid yesterday? I didn't. I'm concerned that someone forgot to validate my time or something. Oh, ha! That's funny. Paid, not laid.
Why did you decide to do this? Now, like I mentioned, you've done documentaries on fracking. You helped produce the Gosnell movie, which really told the truth of abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell. You've done a play on Ferguson that was very fact-based as well, and taking a lot of what was actually the testimony that witnesses and whatnot gave police and court transcriptions. So why this one? Why the text? And what did you find most shocking the more you investigated?
Well, why did I do it? I mean, I suppose it's a very convenient way to bring the truth to people. And it's a great way of bringing the truth to people because it's only the text messages, nothing out of it. You know, and once I saw the text messages and read them, I just realized, I mean, the problem was what to cut out, you know, because there was so much going on, but I didn't want to keep people there too long. But, you know, these are people who have no problem, you know, saying, you know, she said to him in a text message, Trump's not going to get elected, is he? And Strzok said, no, we'll stop it. Then when they were worried that Hillary was going to lose, or you know, or Trump was doing well in the opinion polls, for a little while. Strzok quite clearly said, now it's time to launch the Russia investigation as an insurance policy. You know, when the Mueller investigation was launched, Strzok started talking about impeachment from day one. Strzok launched the Mueller investigation, launched the Russia investigation. So these are people who were involved in trying to undermine the Trump candidacy and the Trump presidency.
No way he gets elected, Dash. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy. God, Hillary should win 100 million to zero.
Well, first of all, it's come out. You're going to be releasing this play, a recording of, because it's a red play. It's a dramatic reading. And you had Dean Cain and Christy Swanson, right?
Yes. Yes, they were wonderful. They had Dean Cain, Young Superman, and Christy Swanson, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, you know, a team like that, how could you go wrong? They were wonderful. Neither of them had done a live stage performance before. Normally they've done TV or film. Neither of them had done a live stage performance before. So we filmed it, and now we've just released the trailer, which you can see at FBILoveBirds.com, or you can see it on Twitter, or it's hilarious. And then in the next month, we're going to release the full version. It's very, very funny, and I just think more and more people need to see what was going on behind the closed doors at the senior levels of the FBI. And, you know, what was going on is not pretty. It's not professional. It's shocking, actually, how these senior people were planning to undermine the results of a Democratic election.
Well, it goes with the fact that many people talk about the deep state and the resistance to Trump, and heck, the way things are going, you might have a play on a whistleblower involving the Ukrainian president pretty soon. But let me ask you this. What are people going to see when this video is released of the dramatic reading? What are they going to learn about these texts that the media ignored? Because just in the teaser alone, there's a quick clip about a hate-filled text that, you know, they could smell the Trump supporters at a Walmart. Very, you know, insulting to Trump supporters. These aren't things that were covered in the mainstream media by any stretch.
Oh, no. I mean, I thought I was well-read, but I was shocked when I started reading the original text. It is truly shocking. Trump's going to get Trump's elected. I'm rereading All the President's Men. It ends in an impeachment, you know. We need to stop Trump. I will stop Trump. I can stop Trump in many ways. You know, this is what they were talking about. This is what and these people have the authority. I mean, Peter Strzok had the authority. And he led the Russia investigation. These are not level players. These are not good players. These are highly partisan people who hate Trump, who hate Trump supporters, and try to undo the result of the Democratic 2016 election. And I felt they need to be exposed, and people need to see what's going on, what they're paying for when they fund the FBI, and what's going on behind the closed doors, and how Trump derangement syndrome has poisoned the FBI and made it a terrible, terrible organization.
Just went to a Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support.
Vomit. Vomit. Vomit, vomit, vomit. It's going to be a Clinton-Trump race. Unbelievable.
What? Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Do you find that truth is stranger in fiction? When I look at Frack Nation, we look at the Gosnell movie, we look at the play that you did on Ferguson, which caused a lot of controversy when it came out. These stories are all true. They're all, I mean, you started with a documentary. The others are documentaries in a way. They're dramatic interpretations of what was actually put on the record.
I mean, totally, truth is stranger than fiction. And truth is more powerful than fiction, actually. I mean, as you say, we did the Ferguson play. I mean, I only used transcripts from the grand jury, only. Nothing else. It was eyewitness accounts, you know, 13 or more eyewitness accounts. The truth was so powerful. The truth was so shocking of what really happened to Michael Brown that day that 9 members of the cast walked out during rehearsals. 9. So that's how, you know, if you want the truth that the truth is stranger than fiction, the truth is more powerful than fiction, they walked out because they realized the truth didn't match what they wanted, what they believed, what the media had told them. And, you know, there you go. You know, and that's how they behave. It wasn't like, oh, the truth is not what I thought it is. I need to change my opinion. No, I want to change the truth. That's how entrenched people are.
People are more willing to walk away and not address something if it goes against their political beliefs right now. Were you shocked when the actors left? Was that something that, did you see that coming while you were in rehearsals on Ferguson?
No, they started walking from the very first rehearsal. Was I shocked? You know, I was kind of bemused, you know, that they can't get beyond, you know, the truth. Kind of bemused about that, all right. I mean, obviously it was very, very stressful at the time because I had a show going on and people kept dropping out and dropping out. One person dropped out on the Saturday before the event. The play opened on a Sunday and one person dropped out on the Saturday. So it was pretty nerve-wracking. But, you know, it was a stage reading. We pulled together. The show must go on. But you have to be, you know, the Hollywood is very left-centered. And the theater world is the most extreme left of all the arts. And that's where I am. And, you know, people... It's kind of sad that people won't accept the truth and would rather change the truth than change their opinion.
But you're talking about Hollywood and you're talking about the theater community. I would say your efforts have proven to a degree that there is an appetite for the truth because you've gone around these systems. You've done a lot of crowdfunding for a lot of these projects.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, crowdfunding is one way to get around the Hollywood gate. Another reason I did a play, actually, also, was it's doable. You know, it's not like a movie that costs millions or can cost hundreds of thousands, and then where do you distribute it and how do you get it out, and all that. A play, you know, you can put it on and get it out there and get publicity for it pretty easily, or pretty good. Well. For a smaller amount of money, it still needs help. And I know that many of your listeners will have supported our causes over the years. Yeah, so we did FBI Lovebirds Undercovers. We raised over 100,000. But I have to tell you, I mean, we had a couple of heart attacks along the way because Indiegogo, the company we use, they seem to have changed their systems. So we had reached our target. We were all happy. The money was still coming in. Then, just as we were flying off to D.C., we got this shocking email from one of our major donors who had given us $20,000. She was in a panic. She said, "I only meant to give you $200, but it turned out to be $20,000. And she was in a complete panic. Now, we were able to refund the money and send it back. Right away. But this happened again and again several times. In the end, we had sent back $32,000. And, you know, it was very nerve-wracking. It was tough, but people came. Once we explained to them that we were suddenly $20,000 short, they came on board. They really helped us out. And we couldn't do it without the public support.
These incidences where the money came through at the wrong amounts is... Did you hear from Indiegogo? Was it a mistake on their part? Was it a mistake on the people entering it in? Because we hear a lot about social media bias against conservatives. This was obviously a conservative effort that you were putting on. Did you get any kind of feeling or any kind of reaction or documentation that this was being done on purpose to some degree?
You know, I don't want to go all conspiracy theory on it, so I don't think it was... deliberate, but it was very, very strange that it happened 5 times to 5 different people. Maybe it's their systems. Maybe
they made it more sensitive. Maybe it was a problem on Indiegogo's end. I don't know what was really going on behind the scenes.
Another thing, though, that we can mention is I remember with the Ferguson play, you had issues with the theater that accepted you, then wanted to move you. And
yeah, no, that was FBI Lovebirds. Yeah, of course. Well,
that was Lovebirds. Okay.
No. Ferguson. The cast walked out of the first screening. Then we put Ferguson on in New York, and the cast wanted to have a protest on the last night, as opposed to having a play. No, the FBI Lovebirds, days before it was due to open in D.C., the venue cancelled about 10 days, actually, before it was due to open in D.C., the venue pulled out, citing security concerns, which is one person tweeting something nasty. One tweet. Now, it was a nasty tweet that said we should close the theatre doors and set the place on fire. With all the people in it, right? But they didn't, it was just one guy tweeting. They didn't, do anything. They didn't ask for extra security. They didn't take a brave stance against violence. They didn't call the police. They didn't say, the show will go on, we will not be intimidated. No, they took the first excuse they could to cancel something that their friends all hated. And let's be honest, once it became clear, once we started all the publicity, they were getting terrible blowback from their friends. So in an act of artistic cowardice, they cancelled the venue.
How did the actors react? I mean, Dean Cain and Christie, were they intimidated? Were they nervous? Or were they more like you? The show must go on. Let's move forward with this.
No, I kept a lot of the trouble from them, because you don't want to involve them in the trouble. I was just telling them the show will go on. We will have a venue. Don't worry. They were more concerned with making sure that the show went on and that the show was entertaining and factual and wonderful. And it was.
And we'll be interested in seeing the whole thing. October 9th, it comes out. People can go to FBILovebirds.com. They can find out information on how to view the video there, correct?
Yes. So the trailer came out yesterday, and it's doing very, very well. It's already going viral on YouTube, and it's FBI Lovebirds Undercovers. And then the full version, the film version, the hour-long play with all the texts and all the tweets, will be out on October 9th, and we hope people can have a look at it.
Like I said, I know people that went to the dramatic reading in D.C. and loved it. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. So hopefully people will check it out. And people can also check out the latest on what you're up to with all these different projects. You have a podcast going on as well, just like MRC TV.
Yes. You're not the only podcaster in the world. Yes. No. Well, we decided to join the podcast revolution. It's called the Anne and Phelan Scoop. That's myself, Phelan McAleer, and Anne McElhinney, my wife. So the Anne and Phelan Scoop. Yes, we're joining the podcast revolution. It's going very well. You'll find out more also about FBI Lovebirds there. So please subscribe to our podcast. It's me, my wife, and two cats, and we have a bit of fun.
All right, Phelan McAleer, thank you for being with us on the MRC TV podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And you can tune into previous episodes of the MRC TV podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. We hope you catch up on old episodes there. Until next week, we'll see you then.